So in lesson 6, we'll be on page 30. So if you want to turn to page 30 of your lesson 6, we'll pick up there in just a few minutes. In our last class, we were looking at Joash, or Jehoash, the king of Judah. And remember what 2 Kings 12:2 said about him. It said that when he was reigning, it said that he did right in the sight of the Lord all his days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So that alludes to some things, because it says that he did right in the sight of the Lord all of the days, but then it says in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So it was during the time that he was getting instruction from Jehoiada. And remember that he was raised by Jehoiada and his wife. His wife was Ahaziah's sister, and they raised Joash. And we left off looking at the death of Jehoiada the priest. And I put a lesson, I put a question on the lesson. And it says, who started to influence the king after Jehoiada's death? And I don't remember if we answered that one or not, but who started to influence him after the death of Jehoiada the priest? The officials. Okay. So the officials were influencing him, and he listened to them. And the officials, they were a bad influence on him, and he would no longer do right in the sight of the Lord. Now, remember we said that this had to do with who he served. So he's no longer serving God, he's serving or worshiping the idols. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, chapter 24, verse 17, we see this. It says, but after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their guilt. So we see this, again, this influence that's taken place. And God tried to turn them around. He gave them opportunity. Verse 19 tells us that he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen. So they're not listening. And then in verse 20, it says that, and we're in 2 Chronicles still, chapter 24, verse 20, then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? He's going to tell them. He goes on to say, because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. They didn't like that. They conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. So we see here that the king commanded them to stone him, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, the very man that raised Joash, Jehoiada was. And they stoned his son. Thus Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness which his father Jehoiada had shown him. But he murdered his son. And as he died, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." We see this in verse 22. So he says, "May the Lord see and avenge." So Zechariah asked to be avenged. Who does the Lord use against Joash? Okay, the Arameans. Okay, Syrian army. And now it came about at the turn of the year that the army of the Arameans came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. And then note what we see in verse 24. And we've seen this in the past. It says, "Indeed, the army of the Arameans came with a smaller number of men, yet the number of men did not matter in this case," and we're about to find out why. It says, "Yet the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash." So, again, we see that there was a smaller numbers that the Arameans came with. But the outcome was because this was what the Lord wanted. And the Lord delivered a very great army into the hands of this small number. And it tells us because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. And we've seen this before. We see how people had been mistreated. And as it was brought up in class before, the Lord sees. He knows. And in this case, we see that He avenged. Verse 25 says, "And when they had departed from him, for they left him very sick, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest, and murdered him on his bed. So he died. They buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings." So it's stated a little differently here in Chronicles. And it states, you know, we've seen this in other instances before, when that king's not doing as they should. It says that they did not bury him with the kings of the tombs of the kings, but it was in the city of David. So because of what the king did concerning Jehoiada's son, they killed him. And then we kind of go back to where we stopped in Kings, in this part of the story. So if you jump back over to 2 Kings chapter 12. We'll just pick up the last two verses of that chapter. And it just states what we've seen in, verse 20 does, what we've seen in Chronicles. "His servants arose, made a conspiracy, and struck down Joash at the house of Milo. And he was going down to Selah. for Josachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servants, struck him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And then it goes on to say that Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. So, as I stated on the lesson, this is around 796 B.C. is the time we're looking at. And that's when Joash dies, and his son, Amaziah, he becomes king in his place. That's the end of lesson 6, the end of chapter 12 in 2 Kings. Are there any comments or thoughts, anything you want to bring up before we move on to a new lesson? All right. All right, then, lesson 7. In lesson 7, as I stated on there, this is going to cover 2 Kings. As far as 2 Kings, it's going to be chapter 13 and 14. Then you're also going to be able to get more information from 2 Chronicles chapter 25. So 2 Kings 13 and 14 and 2 Chronicles 25. So in chapter 12, from the last lesson, we ended with the death of Joash, the king of Judah. And as we stated, this was around 796 B.C. Now we're going to look at some details concerning the kings of Israel. So it's going to jump back in time again, like we've seen. And so it jumps back in time just a little bit to pick up thought. And the time that we're going to be looking at now is going to be around 814 B.C. 814 B.C. is the time we're looking at now. So, and we'll start in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. And again, this is a good verse for your chart. So, you know, a lot of these chapters, when they're changing kings and all of that, it starts to give a little bit of the details about that king and maybe who was reigning in the other kingdom at the time and what year of their reign and, you know, how the king was and things such as that. So, 2 Kings 13, verse 1, it says, "In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel at Samaria, and he reigned 17 years." So we see that this was the 23rd year of Joash, and that he reigned 17 years. Now, Jehoahaz was a bad king, and some of the same issues that Israel had been dealing with, we're going to see some of the same issues. So if you look at verse 2, it says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel sin, and he did not turn from them." So we've seen this statement over and over. It goes back to Jeroboam and the sins that he had committed, the things that he had put in place, and how he caused Israel to sin. And here again, you see the same idea, that he had caused Israel to sin. I put a question on here. It says, "Jehoahaz entreated the favor of the Lord." And what did the Lord do? Okay, he gave Israel a savior. So the Lord did listen to him. And it says, "For he saw the oppression of Israel and how the king of Aram had oppressed them." Verse 4. And verse 5 says that the Lord gave them a deliverer, like Sally said, so that they escaped from under the hand of the Arameans. But did this change things in their actions? Okay, no. No. Yeah, verse 6 starts off with nevertheless. So nevertheless, they did not turn away from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel sin, but they walked in them. And the Asherah also remained standing in Samaria. For he left to Jehoahaz of the army not more than 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen. For the king of Aram had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing. So now Jehoahaz dies and Joash, his son, becomes king in his place. We're talking about king of Israel. I know we have some of these same Joash and Jehoash at the same time, similar times, and jumping back and forth. So that's what we're talking about right here. Jehoahaz dies and Joash, his son, becomes king in his place. So in 2 Kings 13, verse 10, it's on the lesson. It says, in the 37th year, another time stamps and stuff. So in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 16 years. And the following verse tells us that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not turn away from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel sin, but he walked in them. So we're seeing this again. We're seeing it over and over, this same idea of them following in the sins of Jeroboam and causing Israel to sin. Verse 13 states that Joash dies. So verse 13 says, so Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat on his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. But then you get to verse 14, and it seems to be remembering back in time some, because we just saw that Joash died, verse 13. Yet this section recalls a time when Joash came to Elisha when he was sick. So let's pick up in verse 14. We're in yes, sir.
Before you do, just a matter of point that may be useful. Verse 10 is called Jehoash. Verse 13 is called Joash. You just mentioned this in one of your classes,
mm-hmm.
That were entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good place.
Yes, sir. Because we do see in the Kings, we see things like this, and we see some of them where they're called like Uzziah, and then what's Azariah, or you know, so they and some of them, Kings is going to state one name, and Chronicles is going to call him something different. But you're talking about the same king. So yes, sir. Yes, that's the Joash and the Jehoash. We see this used interchangeably and on both sides, both kingdoms. We see that and they use it that way. So good point, Steve. Good point. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay. And so verse 13, it says that Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat on his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Oh, I backed up. Sorry about that. So we had already gone through that. And verse 14, that's where we were. Verse 14 seems to be backing up even though, you know, Joash had already talked of his death, but then it seems to be recalling something that happened. And when Joash came to Elisha when he was sick. So in let's read verse 14. Actually, we'll read 14 through 16. It says that when Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and arrows." So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." And he puts his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. When Joash shot the arrow towards the east, what did Elisha say this was? What did he call that? Okay, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance or victory. Okay, so that's what it stated there. Now, how many times did Joash strike the ground with the arrows? Three. That's right, three times. And what was this, as we read on, what does this say that it represents? What's the three time going to represent? Okay. So how many times he's going to strike the Arameans? How many times he's going to strike Aram? That's right. In verse 17, so it goes on with this story. In verse 17, it said, he opened the window towards the east, and he opened it. He told him to open the window towards the east, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows," and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground," and he struck it three times and stopped. So this is basically what we had in our questions there. And then it says that Elisha dies. So Elisha died, and they buried him. Now the bands of the Moabites would invade the land in the spring of that year, or of the year. And as they were burying a man, behold, they saw a marauding band, and they cast the man into the grave of Elisha. And when the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. So, in this short little section, it speaks of this event when a dead man touches Elisha or his bones. And then after that, then it just goes on back to how Israel was oppressed. It starts talking about the oppression of Israel. It says, "Now Hazael, king of Aram, had oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and turned to them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It would not destroy them or cast them from his presence until now." When Hazael, king of Aram, died, Ben-Hadad, his son, became king in his place. Then Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again from the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken in war from the hand of Jehoahaz, his father. And then it states three times, Joash defeated him and recovered the cities of Israel. So in this section, we've been looking at Israel. And then in chapter 14, it's going to jump back. It's going to jump back over to back to Judah. In 14:1, it says, In the second year of Joash, son of Joahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. So again, we have these different Joashes being mentioned, so it can get a little confusing. But in the second year of Joash, son of Joahaz, king of Israel, it says Amaziah on the Judah side, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. So it says more information. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. Now it states that he did right. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all that Joash his father had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. What does Amaziah do to the servants that killed his father? He killed them. Verse 5 says that he kills them. It said, now it came about as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his hand that he killed his servants who had slain the king, his father. But let's note what he did not do. In verse 6, it says, but the sons of the slayers he did not put to death according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, as the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for the sons, nor the sons be put to death for the fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin. So thus he did according to the law. He did put to death those that killed his father, but not their sons. Any comments or thoughts or questions or anything before we move on? Yes, sir.
Greg, you may have talked about what the high places are already. It seems like a lot of times when they talk about whether or not a king was good or evil, the high places come up. And it sounds like one option the high places were just places where they weren't supposed to be worshiping or offering sacrifices, even though they may have been offering sacrifices to God, or they may have been offering sacrifices to other gods.
Right, idolatry.
Idolatry. Did you have a thought on, like, if these high places that these kings who were considered to have done righteous or done well, mm-hmm. but they were still permitting worship at high places, was this the kind where they were still worshiping God, just not according to at the proper place?
Well, the way I look at it, because it's when it talks about this, when it says that they did good, and it says but they didn't do this, it's contrasting. I think that they're talking about the idolatry as some of the things that they're talking about when they mention the high places. At least that's my thought. Yes, sir. Okay.
Way back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12, Moses' law said, when you get into the land, God's going to select a place, and that's where you're going to worship. That's what they're able to do. And so it wasn't until the time of Josiah, Hezekiah and Josiah, Josiah was taken away. He was a good king, but not
Yes, sir.
God designated a place they could bring their sacrifices, not just every kind of meal.
Right.
So there was sometimes idolatry, but as God commented, sometimes they were worshiping the Lord, but they weren't doing it properly.
Right. And then that's kind of some of what we saw with Jeroboam as well when he created the Bethel and Dan, the stuff there. So, okay. That help, Josh? Yes, yes,
so
yes, we're back in
Jerusalem. They had the proper place to do these sacrifices or the worship, but they still were apparently, if these high places that they were worshiping at, anything that was Judah, were not in Jerusalem, then they were not where they were supposed to be worshiping, even though they were in the kingdom of Judah able to worship. So it seems like there's still a problem. You know, like you mentioned, Jeroboam set up the places in, where is it, in Dan or
Bethel and Dan.
Bethel and Dan. Because there were separate kingdoms at that point, and it was more convenient for him to than to worship in the northern kingdom of Israel. But this is in the southern kingdom, and they're still not worshiping at the proper place.
Right, and
it speaks a little bit to where the kingdom of Judah itself was. They weren't led as people to follow, you know, God's word, to like know every line and giving attention to every all the instructions.
Yes, sir. Well, and that goes to back to what Steve was saying, and we're not going to get that far, unfortunately. But with Josiah. You see some changes in, you know, what they're going back to. And unfortunately, I don't think we'll get to Josiah, but, you know, he was the best king that they had. And, you know, he's, because that's when they found the book. I mean, that was on part of Steve's lesson. And so, yes. On, as far as, let's remember, too, when we're talking about Judah, some of the influences, they were being influenced as well with this idolatry. Because some of the wives, they were marrying wives from the other kingdom. And so we did see some of that as well in some of the past kings and stuff. Any other thoughts or comments? Right.
So I don't know if that would lean towards worshiping God not the place you're supposed to, or worshiping God, not worshiping God the way that you should, like worshiping idolatry. I don't know. It's interesting. It's worded that way compared to wording the way it does.
And most of the time when we were seeing the not with a whole heart, remember that's when it's contrasting following God or idolatry. So good point, Keith. You said 2 Chronicles, that was in 25 too? So 2 Chronicles
25:2.
And you in Kings or in Chronicles? Yes. Yeah, we do see that he's going to, and we'll talk about that in the class, but we'll see where this idolatry, where he decided to take these gods, if you will, of the sons of Seir. So, and we will get to that part of it. Let's see. So we looked at that he killed those that killed his father, but he did not do anything to their sons, and that was according to the law. And It said that he killed of Edom, that we're back in 2 Kings, 2 Kings 14, verse 7. Said he killed of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war and named it Jokthil to this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us face each other." So, Amaziah wants to face Joash. So Amaziah of Judah wants to face Joash of Israel. And let's turn over to Chronicles, because we're going to see some additional things going on in 2 Chronicles. We can get more information of what's happening there. And so what we just read in 2 Kings, in verse 8, it was concerning the two kings facing each other. It mentions this also in 2 Chronicles 25. And that's going to be in verse 17. 2 Chronicles 25:17. But I want to back up a little bit. Let's look at some other verses that are in Chronicles. That's going to give us a little additional information. And this takes place before they speak of meeting together. So let's start back in verse 5. So 2 Chronicles 25, verse 5. It says, "Moreover, Amaziah assembled Judah and appointed them according to their fathers' households, under commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds throughout Judah and Benjamin. And he took a census of those from 20 years old and upward, and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war and handle spear and shield." So, and also verse 6, it said he hired also 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So it talks about these men he has and the ones that he hires that are from Israel. What does the man of God tell the king concerning these warriors from Israel? It states something. Okay, so he doesn't want the army of Israel to go with him. And verse 7, it says, "But a man of God came to him saying, 'O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. But if you do go, do it. Be strong for the battle. Yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has power to help and power to bring down.'" So Amaziah talks about these men that he hired. And so Amaziah says to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given the troops of Israel?" And the man of God answers and says, "The Lord has much more to give you than this." So he tells him, the Lord has more to give you than this that you've given. And so Amaziah dismisses them, verse 10. The troops which came to him from Ephraim to go home. So their anger burned against Judah, and they returned home in fierce anger. Now Amaziah strengthened himself and led his people forth and went to the Valley of Salt and struck down 10,000 of the sons of Seir. The sons of Judah also captured 10,000 alive and brought them to the top of the cliff and threw them down from the top of the cliff so that they were all dashed to pieces. But the troops whom Amaziah sent back from going with him to battle raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth-horon and struck down 3,000 of them and plundered much spoil. This was already brought up with what Steve was talking about. He said, what does Amaziah bring back with him after slaughtering the Edomites? Okay, he brought back their gods, the gods of Seir. So, we will pick up that thought in the next class, because I'm getting buzzed. So in our next class, we'll pick up there. If you haven't picked up a lesson 8, I have lesson 8s in the back. So next class, we should finish lesson 7 and get into lesson 8. Thank you.